bucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. We're broadcasting in the Alabama State House, as I have mentioned repeatedly on the program, but always grateful Representative Stadhagen, Leader Stadhagen, I should say, making this possible as we do on Wednesdays. We'll try to keep doing it until the end of the session, just kind of tie up loose ends, but once again, we are Montgomery, so just pray for our internet connection. It can be a bit tricky at times. Still to come on the program, House Speaker Nathaniel Ledbetter, about a half hour from now. I didn't have him on this session, but he's always been very kind. Before Stadhagen was giving us his time, we used to do it in Leader Ledbetter's office. Just maybe not every week, but he'll make his triumphant return to the program. State Representative Cynthia Allman, someone else I haven't had on the program before, it will join us at the 11 o'clock hour, and then we'll wrap it all up with State Senator Sam Gavan at the bottom of the 11 o'clock hour. We'll talk some things going on up in Huntsville, but obviously we'll talk, I think, ethics is kind of a dominant topic, at least for this listening audience, for better or for worse, after the Stan McDonald appearance last week. 251-343-0106. Need to be in touch with the program. You text me, and I will try my best to get some of your text, given the opportunity between guests. But joining us now, a relatively newish member, but we haven't had him on, and I'm getting a lot of these guys I've never had on before, but very grateful for their time. State Representative Ron Bolton from Northport is with us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Glad to be here.
Hey, thanks for making time. Thanks for coming by. We really do appreciate it. Talk to us first, just for our listeners down in Mobile, that listening audience. So your district is kind of north of the Black Warrior River. If you think of like Tuscaloosa, you cross the bridge there from downtown, and then you head due west toward the Mississippi state line, right?
Yes, sir, that's right. You come west on Highway 82, and I'm just you come into Northport, I'm north of Highway 82 all the way to the Pickens County line.
Yeah.
We go south a little bit there, and then we go all the way to Mississippi.
Yeah, so, and you got an interesting district. You and I were kind of talking about this during the break, right, that the growth of Tuscaloosa, which has just been, at least in the last 20 years, I guess since Maddox has been there, it's really been something kind of that's part of the university's really taken off around the country. But, you know, and then the post-tornado recovery there. But Northport, one of the bedroom communities, if you will, Tuscaloosa has experienced some of this. But you got Northport and what it's doing, and you read about all the different things going on in Northport and what the mayor wants to do. Then you got Pickens County, you got North Tuscaloosa County, some kind of remote rural places, right?
That's right. In Northport, we've got a growing population there, and we're at 30-plus thousand. We're building large residential areas and bringing a lot of commercial development in, whereas on the western side of the district, we're more rural, and we have to pay close attention to our revenue cycles over there to make sure that we can fund the various aspects of public safety. We're working very, very hard on reopening a hospital that is closed down over in Pickens County, and that's where a lot of our attention has been for the last year.
Well, that's what you hear about this rural hospital and fixing rural hospitals, and you know, and this is probably a problem you're confronted with, but like, what is the right solution? Speaking from your experience, is it necessarily, we talk about rural health care. I used to have discussions with people all the time back when this was like this was part of the Medicaid expansion push, but then Republicans will say, well, look, you know, are we conflating rural health care with rural hospitals? Are there other options, maybe these little clinics or maybe these like standalone emergency rooms and things like that need to come to these rural areas?
Now, the standalone emergency room is one thing that we're looking at, and we've been searching for a partner, working with the board there with the hospital. The hospital closed in March of 2020, and we've spent the last 3.5 years looking for partners and solutions to get just the emergency room back open, because we've got a 56-bed hospital that obviously couldn't support itself there in the rural community that we have today in the climate of the rural areas. I find it that way around the state. So my job in that is try to identify a method to operate a sustainable operation there to provide emergency service care to people in the county until they can be evaluated and removed to a larger facility.
So is that, you know, and you talk about that, it's just like one of the biggest problems. You look at Pickens County, I guess the trend is population loss, I would have to think, and finding a way to offer these services just based on what the market says. You know, if you have a dwindling population, then what's the incentive? But, like, is maybe this part of the problem or symptom of a bigger problem in trying to, like, turn these counties around? I'm not saying you want to necessarily want to turn them into Birmingham or Mobile or whatever, but at least get it to where people do stay there and they're not leaving for other places.
That's correct, and economic development has a lot to do with that, but I hope to see that tendency change for everybody moving to the larger cities and moving away, because it's not just evident in my hospitals. It's evident in my church bodies, my small churches out in the country are beginning to a lot of them dwindle down as the older populations pass away, and keeping those community components like that sustained is really important, because healthcare and religion and, of course, recreation and economic development are four of the things that I call pillars for a small county. And you can get economic growth if you've got all those things present. You know, people want to come to your community and they're able to raise a family there and feel comfortable that they can get the services that they need. We've been successful in bringing in some clinics. The University of Alabama School of Health Sciences has a clinic behind the old hospital building that they're running with us. Also, Dr. Booth up in Reform has a very expansive clinic up there. And we've got Dr. Parker and some other people in the, that are around the county with active medical officers, but our primary need right now is to emergency stabilization when we have like a bad accident where we're not having to wait 35 miles for a road trip before we can really tend to people.
Well, tell me this, the only thing I like to talk about on this show, roads and highways and bridges, etc. One of the big projects, Governor Ivey, state, maybe 2-3 years ago, talked about, you know, we've been spending a lot of time talking about 43 in the West Alabama corridor, but 43 north to Interstate 22 and beyond, I mean, that would open up a lot in a big part of your district, right?
It would. Going up through my district and to Representative Brignard, and on into Representative Estes' district, going all the way to the intersection with 22 up there, and that would really open up growth corridors up through the northern part of the county and the southern part of Fayette County.
It's Fayette County, yeah. It's kind of isolated, cut off.
It is, too. Now, they've got a sizable city there in Fayette, but everything else is kind of like sits out by itself. And it would be good to have a major thoroughfare coming back and forth up through there to be able to access, for them to be able to access economic prosperity. I am real big on the West Alabama corridor that's going out through Thomasville. I know that people have questions about funding, but that's a very necessary component of our plan in West Alabama to be able to move products down the highway to get them to Port of Mobile.
Well, and I mean, with it impacting your district specifically, are there goods or services or whatever that come out of your house district? I mean, 43, I guess, getting to Mobile, that would be the primary way you would go.
That would be it. But also, outside of just my district, we have, in the delegation, we've got Mercedes and a number of other manufacturers that are sub-suppliers for Mercedes that are located just on the border of my district to the south. And it would open up a corridor for them to be able to then, after they send product to Mercedes, for them to be able to ship down. Hopefully, I would look for Mercedes to hopefully take a look at shipping out of Mobile instead of Savannah.
Joined by State Representative Ron Moulton here on the program. Just a few more minutes. Former police chief, right?
No, that's my wife.
That's your wife. Okay.
actually, I was a captain. I joke about that. My wife was assistant chief. Yes.
Well, tell us this, though. And you know, the state of the crime and policing and law enforcement right now, you look at it, and I mean, there's controversies all over the state today. The Montgomery and Mobile police chiefs on administrative leave, but we went through a weird time about 5 years ago with morale and law enforcement. Does it really, when you see what's going on in national news, what does it do to a place like Northport? What do you see? Like you're dealing with it on a day to day basis. Or is that just like a million miles away, and you just go on about your life?
No, we're really it's not like that. We're just a microcosm of everything else that takes place out there, and everything affects you at the ground level. Regardless of what the topic is, it's being broadcast on the TVs all the time. People are going to catch it, and they're going to complain about what this police officer's done and what that police officer's done. And the main thing that I've always tried to do is stand in the gap there to make sure that people were getting accurate information. And if you perhaps had an officer who's done something bad, you need to go and deal with it. You can't afford to lose the public trust by them thinking that you're not dealing with it. But it affects everyone when the overall national morale gets sometimes where it's at our law enforcement because some of the incident happened someplace else. But I just always taught and still do tell my guys to be careful every time they hit the streets because you don't ever know what's going on in somebody's life that you're going to have contact with or how they feel about something. Treat everybody with respect. Treat them fairly and respond appropriately.
Well, something else, and we have Shane Stringer on every week on this program, or every other week. But like the drugs and these narcotics, they're different now than and sure. they're impacting behavior and people acting out more violently. I mean, does that? Have you experienced that? Just like the kinds of like incidents you're having to respond to. And just the raised emotional level, the raised emotional state, for whatever reason, making your job a little more difficult.
Yes, sir. Well, back before I left, it was mostly cocaine and methamphetamines. Now we're dealing with the other opioids and the fentanyl and things like that. And really the violence that came with the methamphetamine stuff where people would, when you try to confront them, they were very paranoid and it was very hard to deal with them. And you had that potential for extreme violence with them also. But today with the opioids, you got the same thing, but you've got, it just seems like we've got a lot more problem with overdose. And people dying from these than we did with the cocaine and the methamphetamine.
So you really see the fentanyl on the street.
Oh, yes.
Like people talk about, right?
Yes.
And then that, the Narcan, and having that, because it's not just these people that are partaking in whatever this is. It's also like could impact a police officer, right?
That's correct. Yeah, it impacts you when you're out there because if you encounter somebody that looks like they've passed out or something with that, having the Narcan can help you bring them back around. Although it's not, only 100% effective depending on what time you get there. But you're dealing with a lot more actual overdoses, and without naming names, I've got several old friends that have passed on in the last 15 years, and I didn't go ask anybody, but I just know that the likelihood was it was connected with stuff like that.
Well, and you look at it, like you're having to like train, and I don't know what you could do from a state level to really coach law enforcement up on this, but yeah, I mean, even in the rural parts of your county, right? The threat, if you will, is evolving, and you're always having to like teach new tactics or new techniques to deal with these things.
It always is. It's always evolving. And one thing that the law enforcement people always and first responders always are the risk of is coming into contact with these dangerous chemicals that people are using to do various things with, and also inadvertently come into contact with processed fentanyl, which is going to be deadly on its own.
Right. Well, the best of luck to you. Representative, we're out of time, but we do appreciate you making time.
Thank you for inviting me.
This is a very educational experience, but we'll do it again soon.
Thank you, Jeff.
State Representative Ron Bolton there. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5.
The finest pickup to ever play the blues.